This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Org. Coming up next is Prison Pipeline.
Tune in to Shocks of Sheba this Thursday, June 6th at noon as we share an exclusive interview with reggae legend Max Romeo. Again, that's this Thursday, June 6th, Shocks of Sheba with Max Romeo, a KBOO exclusive.
Pride Northwest Incorporated is proud to announce its 2013 official Pride schedule of events for June 9th through 16th. We have a full week of exciting happenings designed to showcase and celebrate the LGBTQ community, including a Star Trek theme party, a special film screening, a comedy showcase, and a Tony Award-winning musical. The week will conclude with the 43rd annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade, June 15th and 16th at Tom McCall Park. More information about the Portland Pride Festival and Parade can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Welcome to our audience. You are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO FM Portland 90.7. And I'm here tonight with John Palki. He's a recruiter from a staffing agency here in the Portland area. But I will let him tell you a little bit more about that. And then we'll dive on how this whole subject relates more to the justice system. And I have a feeling that it is employment-based. So, John, for the audience, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your background?
Well, thanks, Peter, and thanks for inviting me to be here with you today. As you noted, I am a recruiter for a staffing company, and primarily what that means is that, at least with my particular company, is businesses hire us to find them their people, which is a little bit different than maybe like a headhunter or someone that goes out and is actively seeking employment for people. I, on the other hand, am seeking people for companies.
So why don't you tell us a little bit more of kind of the idea behind a staffing service?
Well, there's really kind of two sides of it. Again, there's the company, from a company perspective, they're able to have a kind of outsource some of their HR function in terms of going through resumes, interviewing people, and getting them lined up to come to work. It takes some of that off of them. A staffing company like what I do will go through hundreds of resumes, will perform all the interviews, will do all the pre-screening to the extent that the company's asked us to do them. So we kind of take that off their plate, and we'll send the company maybe the top one or two candidates that we think will be the best fit for what they're for the position they're trying to fill. From the other side of that, from a job seeker standpoint, coming to a staffing company breaks down that black hole of the internet where you sub your resumes and your applications. You're able to be interviewed immediately. You're going to speak with an employment professional that's going to help you with your interview skills, your resume, and then hopefully get you lined up with a company that matches what you're looking for and that you're matching what the company's looking for. And we're able to get that introduction directly to the decision makers.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of, what sort of work are you pairing people with and what companies are you searching for people for?
Well, I'll kind of speak in terms of staffing in general. When I'm saying staffing agency, we're probably more commonly known as a temp service, but there are different levels along the way. There are temporary services, which are straight, go to work for a couple hours here. The next day, come back in, you go to work a couple hours there. Those are going to have less constraints in terms of backgrounds. Then there are companies that do more on the staffing level, which are maybe a contract to hire, where you're kind of almost on a 90-day trial basis or 60-day or 30-day or whatever that would be. And then there's other companies that just do direct placements where I'm going to find the talent, I'm going to place them directly with the company. So with all three of those, you're going to be looking for, I do everything from a warehouse guy to, engineers, accountants, skilled trades, machinists, welders. And I think that, most companies specialize in one area or the other. There's companies specifically for accounting. There's companies specifically for skilled trades. And then even within some of the larger staffing firms, there's divisions that are specialized in whatever the trade might be.
Okay, and so we are on Prison Pipeline here. And so I'd like to ask you, how would you say that this can be a resource to those involved in the justice system?
Well, I think that, there's obviously challenges that go along with having any type of a criminal background. The majority of companies that, I work for and that I network with are going to do 7-year backgrounds, and they're usually going to be looking for felonies in the last 7 years. Some companies have extended that to where they're looking at misdemeanors. So the challenge is that if you get to me or get to a staffing company, we usually know the companies that are going to give us that opportunity to get to work, and can, get you in that direction rather than kind of, lack of a better term here, beating your head against the wall with companies that aren't going to allow that opportunity.
And so have you seen any trends on that front? Are employers using background checks more often or more pointedly, or what does that look like?
I'm actually seeing it go towards really stricter, higher...
Higher hurdle.
They're definitely, I've had some companies go from a 7-year to a 10-year. I've had some companies go from... misdemeanors all the way, to a lifetime to the age of 18. I think that the challenge for all of us really is to turn that around and let companies know that there's value, there's advantages, and not to put everybody into that same box of maybe having a felony background.
And so why are companies running background checks, would you say? What is the idea behind that?
Well, I think the idea behind it is that there's that we're a very litigious country, and I think that they're looking at ways of protecting themselves from any type of lawsuits or, damages because they, maybe had someone working where the background would maybe be an issue, maybe in terms of safety or property loss or those kind of things. They're trying to mitigate their loss.
So tell us a little bit more about how you take the risk off the plate of the company you're helping.
Well, you're technically working for the staffing company, whichever company that might be in most cases. So if in the first 30 days the employee doesn't work out, the staffing company is the employer. So we're covering any of the unemployment. We're covering the taxes. If the worker gets hurt, the staffing company is covering the workers' comp claims and those kind of things. So really for a company, it's almost like test driving a car, in a sense, that, you know, anything that goes wrong in those 90 days, pretty much anything, the staffing company is the employer and is going to be responsible for those costs.
What is your relationship in your position to other organizations, for example, workforce development nonprofits or state agencies?
Well, it's more of kind of a personal thing. You know, it's something that I've tapped into that I honestly didn't know about before I got into the staffing. And I've been hiring people and involved in the HR process for over 20 years. But it wasn't until I saw staffing and saw the restrictions that companies were putting out there and the people that were getting caught up in those restrictions. I think that, you know, a felony carries a certain connotation with it that I just don't think is true of the people that I'm meeting and some of the people that I've talked to. So I've reached out to some of these groups, and those groups have reached out to me. And, you know, we're trying to work together. Those programs are out trying to do the same thing that I'm trying to do, and that is to get businesses to open their doors and open up opportunities for people that have come through the justice system. I'm an option for those companies to take some of that risk off their plate by using a staffing company. And then it also allows me to help more of those programs and the people that are through that or, you know, and the stuck in that system to get jobs and to get back to work and, you know, hopefully go on to long, prosperous careers.
And so would you say that there's a downside to the job seeker in this relationship?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think that there is, but I don't know that it's that much of a downside depending on the company that you're working for. I do have a tendency to think that sometimes it's easier for companies, to make a switch, and say, you know, we want to try somebody else in this role. Whereas if they were doing the hiring and the searching and the sourcing on their own, they might not do that as quickly. But that's kind of a hit or miss. Some companies would just as easily tell you not to come back tomorrow if they hired you or if they used a service. So,
and so have you seen that?
I've seen it, though, on both sides of it, whether a company's hiring directly or they're coming through a staffing agency. With Oregon being a right-to-work state, it's pretty easy to move people in and out of jobs.
A right-to-work law secures the right of employees to decide for themselves whether or not to join or financially support a union, meaning a possible lower presence of organized labor. Okay, and so why don't you tell us about a job seeker you've worked with?
Since this show's you know, kind of focused on the justice system, I'll kind of stick in that realm here. Experiences, most of mine have been very positive. And maybe that's kind of why I'm gravitating towards spending some time in this particular job market. When you get somebody who maybe is come through the system, or maybe somebody who got caught up in a bad day, a bad situation, you know, and maybe got one charge, one conviction, or someone who's maybe been struggling with addiction and is trying to overcome that things. When you can get those guys into a job that they can stick with, they can grow with, they could maybe, you know, get out on their own, bring their families back together. I mean, that's a pretty awesome feeling. Yeah, there's a guy that, you know, it's a funny, and I don't know if it's a me thing or if it's just part of what these guys have been through and that they really do open up. And so this person had had a pretty rough life from the get-go and really had some struggles, end up in a situation where they did some time. But in doing that, they've come out and they want to do, they want to get their act together in a sense. You know, he's the guy had some kids. He needed to get a job, to get, access to his kids again. You know, 3 years down the road, he's still employed. He's received several raises. He's in maybe a level of management. You know, I run into him, and his life has changed. And I think that part of why I do this isn't so much how that makes me feel, but to show companies that, that as a society, this is what we should be trying to do. And that's, you know, on the other hand, I've had the opposite happen where, you know, a guy will tell you he's changed and he wants to get his family, his kids back. And, you know, we'll fail the first drug scene, first drug screen we put in front of him. So, but I've also found that that's true of just about every segment of our population, whether they've been through the system or not.
And so do you use some kind of screening mechanism when people come in, maybe a test or something?
You know, we do have some skills tests, and a lot of the agencies will have something. And it really kind of depends on what the client asks us to do. You know, in my particular office, we have one that takes through some basic basic math, reading, comprehension, some number variation, identification, reading a tape measure, but again, alphabetizing. And some of that we'll use if we're going to put you in a role where you're going to be doing filing, we're going to want to make sure you did okay in the alphabetizing section. If you're going to be reading a tape measure, we're going to want to know that you're doing all right there. But it's not the ultimate deciding factor. So that's kind of the first thing you'll do when you come in, then the application, then the interview. If we get to the point where there's a job offer, you'll have to pass a drug screen. We're not, in most cases, we're not going to pull any type of criminal background. You know, a lot of agencies can't work with people that have backgrounds. That doesn't count if you don't pull it, if that makes sense, even though it makes no sense.
Well, it's not illegal if you don't get caught. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's you can tell me about it, but if I pull the background, then, you know, that's a different issue. But that's a, you know, that's another good point on this, though, too, is that, you know, I know that the struggles, I know that the amount of doors that get shut, you've got to continue to be honest. You've got to continue to be diligent. It's not a good thing if I find out after going through the process of interviews and job offers to find out that you have something on your background
that you haven't disclosed.
Right. If you disclose it, I can work with that. We can make sure that we're going to the right employers. If you don't disclose it and it comes up later on, it's really hard to work with you again.
And it's grounds for termination.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a process that you go through when you're getting hired. Even if the company doesn't pull a background, at some point on most applications or doing your hire paperwork, it asks you if you've ever been convicted of a crime. And you've got to answer that. At that point, in most cases, the job offer has been made. So it's not going to change whether or not you get that job. However, if you don't put something down and 3 months later they're going to bring you on direct and they find out that there was a background that you didn't disclose, then it's grounds for termination. So, you know, you do have to be honest throughout the process. Hopefully, you know, the company or the agency or whoever you're working with is going to be able to help you with that.
And that's nothing that crazy or out there. It's like if anyone lies on a job application, then it's going to be grounds for termination.
Exactly. And we've seen that in, college presidents that have lied about education that have gotten terminated because of it. So it kind of comes down to that integrity into things. You know, if you're... Unfortunately, if you've been through the system or you come into something with a criminal background, you're already fighting an uphill battle when it comes to trust. So being open, being honest, I think is probably more important if you've been through that.
Great, John. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a minute for more advice and information on staffing agencies and employment for people who've been involved in the justice system from John Palke, recruiter at a local staffing agency. Welcome back. You are listening to KBOO FM Portland 90.7. You are listening to Prison Pipeline, and we're speaking with John Palke, a recruiter at a local staffing agency, about employment after you've been involved in the justice system. And so how about a company? Could you tell us about a company you've worked with?
You know, I do, and I have some companies that most of the companies that are going to not pull a criminal background usually have somebody in their leadership group, ownership group, or personal experience where they have had doors slammed in their face because of a background issue, or know of someone that's close to them. I think those are the companies that usually are going to give the greatest opportunity to people that have that background, because they believe in the process. I also think that there's a couple things that when I'm talking to companies about trying to open their doors lower their restrictions on some of the background issues. Is again, you mentioned some agencies earlier that'll help people that have been through the system. As an employer, that means you've got a reference. People that are going through those programs are being asked to do certain things. There's certain functions or tasks that must be accomplished in order for them to be successful in those programs. And counselors and people that work in those programs are going to call me and say that, Bob has done everything we've asked him to do. And I really think he's ready to get out there and work. Or they'll call and say, Bob hasn't done what we're asking him to do. And we don't think he's ready to get out there, because those agencies are vested in Bob's success. Because if we're going to get employers to give us a chance and give these people a chance, then they're going to have to, we're all going to have to be vested in it. The agencies are going to have to be invested in it. The people we put to work are going to have to understand kind of the torch they're carrying. And then, if you're using an agency or even that HR manager who is giving that opportunity, it's more important, I think, than kind of someone who doesn't have a background for you to be successful. And I think that when you've got all those people working for you, it's less of a risk to the company, because there are a lot of people that are putting themselves out there to make this work.
So a takeaway point would be for someone involved in the justice system who's having difficulty finding work, to get involved with an organization that that does workforce development or helps out in that fashion.
Absolutely. I know I can only speak from my own personal perspective on it, but I won't really work with someone who's been through the justice system that isn't part of a program, just because of what being part of a program says. And it's easier for me to tell my client that, this person has, something in their criminal past, but here's what they've done since being out of prison, or, here's some of the other people that are vouching for them and their performance. That makes it a lot easier. So I guess to answer the question, yes.
So why don't you tell us about the trend of staffing agencies in the larger economy, especially as it relates to the justice system? What does that look like?
Well, I think that in the overall scheme of things, it's something that I think we're going to see continue for some of those reasons that we mentioned earlier in terms of what it takes off of the companies. We are in this information age where a person can sit down and apply to, 200 jobs in a matter of a few hours on the internet. So going through those, sorting through those are going to become more costly to a company. So they're going to rely on staffing companies to do more of that. If we're going to go specifically criminal justice system and guys that have come through the programs or have felony backgrounds, or really, like I said earlier, even some misdemeanor backgrounds, we're going to need to be advocates for getting out there and selling a candidate. When I have a person that I want to put to work, I have to sell them to the company. If you have somebody selling you, in the positive sense, you're going to have a better chance of getting the opportunity to get your foot in the door.
And so have you placed one person more than once, or has that kind of the door closed to them at that point?
Yeah, there's circumstances. I have placed people more than once. Most of the time I'm limited again by the number of companies that have opened their doors to these opportunities. It depends on circumstances. Not every company is the right fit for people. And if we're handling it professionally and we're communicating with each other, and it doesn't work out at one company, then I'll try to get you at another one. There's also the industry, there's layoffs, there's cutbacks. If you get into a job and you do a good job and you represent yourself well, you're representing, me well, you're representing the staffing company well, you're representing whatever agency maybe you went through for assistance, then we're going to continue to try to work for you and on your behalf.
And so what's the greatest success you've had with this?
I think that on a whole, I think that once we got everybody on board with understanding the importance of how, coming together, staffing agencies, the services that are out there to help. I think probably the biggest success is that when we have a random drug screen at a company, we don't lose anybody that's been through the justice system. And we're going to lose people. We lose people almost every drug screen we do. But when I can say none of the guys that we asked you to take a chance on failed that random drug screen, that to me is a good day.
And so what was the worst experience you've ever had?
I've got to figure out how to say this correctly here, but I did have a guy who was on probation for a crime, and he had been working for maybe 6 to 8 months at this company and been doing a great job. We were all excited about it. I turn on the news that night, and he's in the back of a police car having committed the same crime he was on probation for on his way home for work. That wasn't a very good day. Kind of funny, but not a very good day. It was just one of those things where, the sad part about it is that it's an example of maybe why we shouldn't have taken a chance on that guy. What isn't shown is the other, 200 people that have gone through that same company that have, never reoffended. And it was one guy who apparently thought he got better at his crime than he did and was still not very good at it.
Well, all right. We're just about done here, John. Thank you very much. If you had a message, I know a lot of our listeners are actually incarcerated right now. If mm-hmm. you had a message to them, what would it be?
Well, I think it would be don't give up. And it's a process. You might meet with somebody like me, and it might be 3 or 4 months before that opportunity comes around to get you in the door. But you got to keep knocking on the doors. You got to keep using all the resources that are available to you. It may sound or seem at times that there are no opportunities, no doors are open. But keep knocking, keep using the resources. And then once you get that opportunity, make the most of it. And I would say that to people that are in the justice system or not in the justice system. But if you are, you've more than anybody else have to make sure that you get in there and do well and perform well. And sometimes too, just maybe on another note, you might get into a job that isn't necessarily what you want to do for long term. But if you're just getting out of prison, you need to get some stuff on your resume, and working somewhere for 6 months, 8 months, it helps a lot. And also if you're in prison, do some things, and those things can go on a resume. What we want to show employers is that we didn't just sit around doing nothing.
All right. Thank you again. This has been John Palki. He works for a local staffing service, and he has worked with many people involved in the justice system. I want to thank our listeners. I want to thank our engineer, Danielle. This is Peter Pincel signing off for Prison Pipeline on KBOO FM 90.7 here in Portland, Oregon. Like us on Facebook, and And you can find out all information about this show and past shows recorded online at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Thank you and good night.
Understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
KBOO Community Radio, West Coast Horticulture, and Higher Reasoning Reggae Time are proud to sponsor electro-dub artist Gowdy with Indubious and Higher Reasoning Sound, June 7th at 9 p.m. at the Alhambra Theater, formerly the Mount Tabor Theater. Tickets for this 21 and over show are on sale now at brownpapertickets.com. $1 from each ticket sold goes directly to KBOO. That's Gowdy with Indubious and Higher Reasoning Sound, June 7th at the Alhambra Theater, 4811 Southeast Hawthorne in Portland.
Hi, this is Penn of Penn and Teller, and happy birthday to KBOO.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It is about 7:01 p.m. Monday, June 3rd, 2013. Stay tuned for KBOO's daily broadcast of Hard Knock Radio, followed at 8 p.m. by A Different Nature. Stay tuned.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.